Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. I'm looking forward to our time, so let's just jump right into the purpose of these videos, Adventures in Grace. Number one, that you would begin to develop the type of relationship where you have interaction with God on a very tangible level. Our spiritual ears should hear him like our physical ears hear one another. Our spiritual eyes should see him like our spiritual eyes see one another. And so the very presence and feeling and taste and smell, all of that should be real to our spirit in God, just like it is from our flesh to one another or to this world. So the more tangible your relationship is, I say it all the time, let God come out of your wonderful Bible, but get into your amazing life. That'll be awesome, because what's going to happen is, number two, you'll begin to have prayers answered. And number three, you'll be able to use testimonies to share with other people. Well, we're going to jump into some things concerning finding grace. I know that sounds kind of interesting, but there's reasons why we don't find it, and then there's reasons why we do. And this is why or what our subject matter is going to entail. So the first thing I want to do is go over, and I trust maybe those of you who have been watching quite a bit, maybe you can quote line for line with me, Matthew 11, 27 to 30, this amazing invitation from Jesus to us about having a relationship with him that's real, that's tangible, that bypasses religion and tradition and gets right to the heart of experiencing him in a very easy and simple manner that's not difficult and hard. So I thank God for these scriptures. And the Message Bible says, "Now Jesus resumed talking to the people, yet tenderly. My Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. "No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." Such a tremendous passage of scripture. What a great invitation to actually experience Jesus. Now, as important as the Bible always is, and thank God these scriptures were breathed by God and inspired by God, men were moved by God to write them, which is just simply the fact that when you read the scriptures, you should be inspired to move toward a relationship with Jesus. But I thank God that Jesus, even in that passage, said, "Come and get away with me." Now, some would say in modern thought, well, that just means get away with the Bible. But no, it doesn't. Everything about the Bible points you to him. So he really wants you to get alone with him and experience him and walk with him. And this is finding grace, God's influence everywhere in the earth. Okay, I'm going to read a passage of scripture here that's going to be helpful for that. It's over in Titus chapter 2, 11 to 12 in the Passage translation. It says, "God's marvelous grace has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. This same grace teaches us how to live." So number one, if we're going to find grace, then grace will teach you. So you're going to find the influences of God in your life. And this is going to be kind of funny, but by the influence of God. So it is God's influence that is at work within us that will help you to find in your life the influences of God. You know, I have a longer testimony than normal, so I'm going to read that in just a second as soon as I finish this. It says, "It teaches us how to live each day as we turn our backs on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles." So isn't it interesting? The first thing that grace is going to do is teach you to turn your back on ungodliness and indulgent lifestyles. So you're going to start to see things that'll probably make you sad. You say, why would I see things that would make me sad? Well, number one, you'll start to see some things more accurately about what really is important and what isn't important. What is of God and what isn't of God. And it's very possible there'll be things that you'll realize that you've been fellowshipping with or communion with or having some type of involvement with that have nothing to do with your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that may be sad. The second sadness will be the biggest sadness, and that will be you'll see people everywhere swimming and drowning in the drama of life and the ungodliness and indulgent lifestyle. In other words, the worldliness that Jesus warned us about in Mark chapter 4 concerning the third type of soil that the seed of God's word was sown into, and that had to do with the wheat and the tares, and the tares were the concerns and care for this world and the deceitfulness of riches, which would rob you and steal and choke out the things of God's word, God's truth to you, and your relationship with him. And so these are very important for us to just open our hearts to the ideas of the things that are going on around us that we may not even know we're fellowshipping with without rejecting them. So let me go on. It says, and it equips us to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. So the second thing grace will do is help you to actually experience God and live well-equipped and be very stable and very, very sure. So this is a testimony here. It's a second testimony to one we've read earlier from Miss Amy that blessed us with a couple of great Adventures in Grace testimonies. She said here, here's what I want, So the second thing I'd like to share is a revelation grace story that I think fits well with your teaching about prayer and fasting. You talked about in order to find the world that you don't know, you have to turn your back on the world that you do know. That being focused on the flesh and the world can literally cause you to think that you're going to die when you get a little sniffle. Then you went on to describe how fasting is usually turning aside something of the world that seems to demand attention of your flesh. And for most of us, that demand comes from the body in the form of food. I had a situation with pain in my right shoulder about 2 or 3 years ago. This pain persisted for about a year and a half, and I knew all the verses on healing and about speaking to the mountain, etc. God had truly done a miraculous work in me, but when it came to this pain in my shoulder, I knew I had underlying fear. My mom had died of cancer 5 years earlier, and we were all convinced, according to God's word, she was healed and would live. Over the course of that year and a half of pain in the shoulder, I continued to talk with my dad about this fear, meaning God. Over and over, he would assure me that I could rest in his love and that this pain would not end up in death, and that my underlying fear that cancer was eating away at my shoulder was not true, and I could simply allow him to love me through this. But the pain didn't leave. In fact, it continued to grow worse, and my fear continued to simmer beneath the surface. I asked the Lord about many things during this time, one which included fasting and prayer. An area he had been pursuing with me for some time was using my prayer language. I had received my prayer language some 8 years earlier, but honestly really didn't understand the use of it, so I didn't pray in the Spirit often. But when I asked about fasting, this is the revelation I received. Fasting and prayer go together, my daughter. Before the cross, fasting was accomplished by denying the body of food in order to focus and hear from me more clearly. But fasting from food was a shadow of things to come. Now you will fast from the carnal mind, flesh through tongues. When you pray in tongues, your mind is unfruitful. That is exactly where you want your carnal mind, unfruitful. This will be difficult at first because your mind will rebel against tongues because it cannot understand it. The carnal mind is enmity against God and feels it is a worthless waste of time. And that is exactly why I never used my prayer language. It was just like when you fast from food. Your body, flesh, rebels because it is hungry. But when you fast from the carnal mind through tongues, it is by far more powerful than fasting from food. Those prior to the cross could not fast from the carnal mind because they did not have the Spirit within them. The mind of Christ. They fasted with food as a shadow of that which is to come. Begin to speak now, daughter, in our spirit language. The Spirit himself will continue combine spiritual thoughts and spiritual words and reveal to you the mysteries of the kingdom. As you submit your tongue to the language, you will find it is real food. You will have found the way to cut off the carnal mind from the spirit when you within you, and you will quickly find yourself walking in the spirit with power. I had never heard anything regarding fasting from anyone anywhere, but I knew it was true. So I began fasting from the carnal mind through tongues. I can't say that I can precisely describe everything that transpired during those times. God's grace and empowerment don't always have natural words, but rather experiences. I continued to sense that I could rest in his love concerning my shoulder. Others would happen along and say and confirm the same thing. All I know is fear left, and sometime shortly thereafter, I realized my shoulder was healed. Sometime later, a brother in Christ told me a verse in Jude that says, praying in tongues keeps us in the love of God. I had not realized that that verse was saying that while I experienced that I had my dad or Heavenly Father was confirmed by his written word. Praise the Lord. And she went on to say, thank you so much for the Adventures in Grace videos. Well, this is really interesting. Probably some of you say, well, I never really heard something like that before. But you know what? There's an element of that that's very, very true. And I thank you, Amy, for that revelation. Because when you do pray in other tongues, in a sense, you're fasting your mind's ability to run away with a conversation, dominate it, and control it. When you're praying in other tongues, your mind will get quiet. I know Brother Hagin said this to me years ago in person. He said, if you'll pray long enough in the Spirit, sooner or later, the Holy Ghost will speak to you. Well, the sooner or later has to do with sooner or later, your mind will get quiet. If you'll pray in the Spirit long enough, your mind will get quiet and you will begin to sense the direction of the Spirit of God, and God will begin to enlighten you with thoughts, with ideas, with pictures and scenarios that are from heaven for you, for your life, and for your future. Hallelujah. So thank the Lord that we know that fasting, whether it's food or whether it's just the carnal mind, like Amy shared right here, that turning away from the world and turning your face toward God, you will begin to experience him. And by the way, one of the wonderful things that took place in Amy's life is that she was beginning to pray in other tongues. Even as Jude tells us in verse 20, that when you pray in the Spirit or in the Holy Spirit, you'll build yourself up on your most holy faith. So look what was happening. Faith was rising in her heart. There was an edifice, or there was strength coming to from her spirit to her body. She lost sight of fear by losing sight of the carnal mind. And lo and behold, what took place? Well, what would always take place when those things happen? Her body was healed. Her body was whole. So as we're looking for grace to teach us, here's a scripture that I want to share with you. In fact, a few of them. And this is interesting because it kind of sets the course to where we're going in the next couple sessions. It says Revelations 2, 5, and 6. The New King James Version says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent. Of course, he's talking to the churches right now. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So notice here, the Lord is speaking rather plain and very direct to the churches in Revelation. And of course, chapter 2, you'll see a whole list of churches. But one of the things that he's saying here, which is a common theme throughout the Word of God, is repent. Repent from where you're at. Now, finding grace, and this is why we bring this up, because one of the main things that needs to happen for you to find grace is to have an open heart and an open mind. And an open heart and an open mind cannot be in you if you're so persistent to have it your own way and to be full of pride and arrogance and just continue to go the wrong way. You know, some folks, even with the best intentions in mind, will not switch directions because they believe what they're doing is right, but it hasn't worked for 10 years. Well, something's wrong, folks. If something's not working and it's been a year, something is wrong. The power of God within you, within a millisecond, will kill every single sickness and every single disease and bring about tremendous and wonderful blessings in your life. And if we're not seeing them forever, there's something wrong with the way that we're looking at it. And we've got to change our perspective. Repent. What does repent mean? It doesn't mean come to the altar and cry your eyes out, although there may be tears in your repentance as you begin to realize that you've been going the wrong direction. Repentance has everything to do with changing directions. In other words, if somebody tells me I'm going down the wrong way on a one-way street, I need to repent. And the faster I repent, the more sure I am of staying alive and not causing an accident. Look over here at Acts chapter 2, 38 and 39. It says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" You know, it's the same type of thing as when John the Baptist was heralding the message of repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. What was he saying? There's a change coming and you're going to have to change directions, for now no longer will everybody be on the outside from God. Through Jesus Christ, you can come onto the inside. So you're going to have to repent, change directions. The way things are going at this particular time, they're going to change and you're going to need to change with them. So even here we see this is a really very much of a reoccurring theme in the scriptures. And now I'm going to share this with you because our time is almost out. And that is, as I follow the grace of God and enjoy a more tangible relationship with Jesus, as I allow grace to teach me not only the goodness of God, but also the ungodliness of the world and shape and mold my thoughts, one of the main words that exists in my vocabulary is the word repent. And someone would say, "Wow, you're really, really carnal." Well, I'm not saying that there's not still carnality in me, that thank the Lord, we're continuing to grow and weed that out. But my thought is, the more you grow toward what is right, the more you will recognize what is wrong, which will give you more opportunity to repent from the way you've been seeing things. Repent should be a part of your arsenal. It should be one of your weapons, because when you repent, we're going to see this in the next session, it also comes with humility. Let's stop right there. We're going to jump back in because we're talking about finding grace. And these are some of the reasons why we find it or we don't. So go to Adventures in Grace YouTube channel and subscribe and like so that we can get more people to come to our channel and hear these type of messages where we're hearing such wonderful results of what God is doing. You can also go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us. And for sure, I know there's at least 250 people that watch this regularly, if not more. So we should have about 200 grace stories coming every single week that we could share. In fact, let's get so many we can just take a whole 15 minutes or maybe stretch it out to a 30-minute testimonial of God's grace from you. And so I encourage you very much, go to jimhockaday.com and you can find our email, which is jhmi@jimhockaday.com. We'll see you next time.